Welcome to Lockdown Trivia, the Unlock Your Brain podcast quiz show. My name is Dalton McGee, and I'll be your host as we choose four expert categories of our players and explore them together as we try to unlock this trivia game one key at a time. This week's episode features Brandon Fellows from Springfield, Illinois. His expert categories are Family Guy, Norm MacDonald, defunct auto brands, and the 2009 Florida Marlins. Sign up for your own episode of Lockdown Trivia following the link in the description of each and every episode. You can play by yourself or bring a friend for a competitive or cooperative game. Now let's get started.
Good chance I'll look like a fool.
Well, if you do, at least it's festive today, because for us as of recording, it's literally Christmas in July. But as this comes out, Merry Christmas to everybody. So
Merry
Christmas. Not a Christmas episode, but... I wanted to make sure that for Christmas Eve and for New Year's Eve, both lockdown release dates, I had people that I care about in my life. And so we'll see who comes next week. But Brandon, I'm glad you're here with me on Christmas Eve for this episode.
Yeah, me too. Merry Christmas to you, Dalton.
Yep. And I'm excited for this one. I see you poked fun back at me with my 2008 Chicago Cubs, and you made me write your 2009 Florida Marlins.
It's the team of which I watched the most games of their regular season. I probably watched 100 2009 Marlins games, I'm guessing, in that neighborhood.
I was going to, so you're telling everybody you're a masochist, but that year they were actually pretty good.
No, that team was really good. That team should have been in the playoffs. That team was really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I learned a lot about them reading. I texted you this beforehand, but it was funny that this was a lot of names that I definitely know and just haven't heard in 10 or 15 years and completely forgot these people existed. And they were the roster for the Marlins the first year I started playing MLB The Show, which is my connection to the team. So I knew them inside now, even their minor league program, I played that game so much. Don't worry, I'm not going to dip too deep into the minor leagues, but I appreciate, whether it was on purpose or not, making me write that category for you, since I had that one on the show you hosted.
I was trying to think of something non-traditional sports that was similar to what you did to me, so that was the intent.
Well, I didn't call in Dave Barnes to write your category. I took care of it. But and then Family Guy, you threw me for a loop there. I think I knew you. We've talked about it, that you also like Family Guy a lot, but I didn't know it would be one of your expert categories, because it's definitely one that I might have even submitted for mine. I love Family Guy.
And I studied none. So this is going to be just what, you know, it's one of those things where you think you know a lot. We're going to find out whether or not I do.
Well, since you've been on last, which, by the way, the first episode, so it's been a while, we have exercised our muscles in the writing back doors and writing good trivia. And so I hope that you feel, if not a better game than you had, at least a really good one still. We even have a new logo now, so it's a totally new show.
I actually was going to bring up, and I meant to message you, how much I like the new logo. I think it's
Thank
very
you.
Good.
Thank you. I've got the hat on, and I've got the swag, so... when I go to SporkleCon,
nice.
People will know that, oh, that's the lockdown guy. If not, seeing this new jersey I also got with my McGee on the back, it's a Springfield Capitals esports baseball jersey.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Yeah. So we're wearing all the swag tonight.
When I first met you and you were playing trivia, I assumed that was from the Capitals slow pitch softball team, which meant I assumed I had played slow pitch softball against you at some point, because I'd played against the Capitals for years and years, and they ran like 100 people through there, and I thought I just didn't remember you. Turns out it was for something completely different.
Probably saw the black, like, inspired by this.
Yeah, that's one. Yeah, that looks very similar to the Capitals slow pitch jerseys from like 2017 or something.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, it was not that. It was way less athletic than that. But I do get to, as an asterisk and a punchline to that comment, say I did play in the Legends Classic. I played with former Cubs and Cardinals. I coached third base against a Hall of Fame Cardinal. So,
oh wow,
that's my flick. Not that I was any contribution to the team, but what was cool about that, I don't know if I've told you this, when I went to the dugout and we were talking at the beginning of the game, Darwin Barney's there and Jamie Moyer and like everybody's there, and I'm just geeking out. And I said, hey, I have played literally thousands of hours of MLB The Show. I think that I can practically say I have seen more situational baseball than almost anyone in this dugout and not be lying about it. Can I coach third base? And they were like, that's hilarious. Yes. And that's how I ended up over there. So in any that's case, and then Norm McDonald, what a fun one. But that one was probably the one that was the most challenging to decide what angle to tackle those questions.
Yeah. I'm curious to see where you went on it.
Well, every question I talk for and, 2 minutes before I get to the question. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. But
that's good.
Yeah,
I did Shaggy watch, Dog questions. Yeah.
Yeah. I watched hours of some of his best stuff just to.
Oh, good.
Not that I hadn't seen it, because I love Norm Macdonald, but I literally sat one night bored, probably 1 to 3 in the morning, and just a YouTube montage of some of his best moments and work. And I was like, yeah, this is the inspiration I need. Anyway, Brandon, you know the drill. What is new since you've been on is now when in the world has been replaced by who in the world.
Okay.
So this is stage name question.
Okay.
Where the correct answer is the stage name, and I give you context and stuff. And you tell me who that is. National Blank Day no longer reflects the day we record. It is the day we air. So it's Christmas Eve. We'll see what happens there.
Okay.
I know.
All right.
And then before and after is the same. Billboard Buster replaced Deep Cuts. And so this is a more general music and as opposed to like first album specific, which allows me to write better questions. But they all have something to do with relevance to the Billboard charts. So your requested category for genre this time was Van Halen and Van Halen adjacent. And I had fun writing one there. So
good.
And Stormy Trivia is the same. I know you pretty well. So I have one that I think you should know. Brandon, Merry Christmas Eve, and where do you want to begin your game?
I think I'm very curious and would like to start out with Norm Macdonald.
Okay. The unlocked Norm Macdonald question is this. Norm Macdonald said that what fast food company made a big mistake replacing Daryl Hammond as the character they hired him to play in 2015?
That would be KFC.
It would be. Norm Macdonald is Colonel Sanders. Our younger listeners, that's probably all they know about him. Unless they've gone on YouTube like I did for 2 hours that night. That is correct. And one key in your pocket, where to now?
I will stay with Norm.
All right. Your one key Norm Macdonald question is this. This one's probably pretty warm for Brandon Fellow's game. SNL removed Norm Macdonald as the host of Weekend Update, allegedly because he wouldn't stop relentlessly making fun of what alleged murderer?
Oh, I'm going to go with OJ Simpson.
Yeah, OJ Simpson is the answer I'm looking for. Now, my question to you is, can you give me more context? Was it actually for that? Was that what people say?
Well, so if you want like the whole story, Norm in the media tour immediately thereafter, said that was not the reason. Donald Ohlmeyer, the West Coast president of NBC, summoned him out to the West Coast and said that he wasn't funny and that Weekend Update wasn't funny and had nothing to do with OJ. And that it was, and if you watch the Weekend Updates, him and Downey intentionally wrote jokes to get kind of shocked response. And they liked when there was no laughter. That was like the long take stuff. But the other side of that coin is that Donald Ohlmeyer literally visited OJ in prison weekly while OJ was on trial and was a daily golf partner with him prior to OJ's arrest and was the guy who hired him to work at NBC Sports. So,
wow.
Norm took him at his word, but everybody else said that, including David Letterman famously, said it was because of the OJ stuff. So
a fair question.
I think it was because of the OJ stuff. Yeah. I think it was because of the OJ stuff.
Well, it's probably hard if you are insecure about what's going on with one of your friends and their court ventures to laugh at those things. So there's that.
Yes. Yes.
All right, Brandon, two keys. Are you going to continue the category or get chaotic?
I am. I would like to continue with Norm.
All right. Your two key Norm Macdonald question is this. Norm's first American network television appearance was on what late night show in 1989 whose titular presenter is better known as the host of a game show from 1981 to 2024.
That's going to be Pat Sajak.
Yeah, I was surprised to find that. Knew I wanted to throw it in the game. I didn't even know he had a show, and it didn't last very long.
No, it was on CBS. It was not very good. It was really bad.
Yeah, the Pat Sajak show is good enough for your third key. And where to next?
I would love to stay with Norm.
All right, let's see what we have next. Your three key question is this. Norm had uncredited cameo appearances in what movie with a rhyming name and its sequel in 1999 and 2005, respectively?
What were the years on that again?
1999 was the movie, and its sequel was 2005.
I'm going to guess that this is the Deuce Bigalow franchise.
It is Deuce Bigalow, Male Gigolo. That is correct. Well done. I don't know. Now, this is where I admit I have not seen these movies.
The sequel is Deuce Bigalow, European Gigolo.
Yes, and in either case, a rhyming title, but... Yeah, I haven't seen them. I only know them because I think their name is iconic. I think that's just why my generation knows about them, because our parents were watching them.
I know the Norm scene. So he's a bartender in the first one. You know what? I don't know. He may be a bartender in the second one. I maybe don't know the European one. I know this what it is, but I know it's super short. It's like an hour and 15 minutes long or something. But anyway, it's very short.
That is bizarre.
Yeah. I will stay and try and close out Norm here if at all possible.
All right. We'll see what the hypothetically hardest question is in Norm MacDonald. In one of his most iconic long form jokes, Norm MacDonald says that you can logically infer if someone is straight or gay based on whether or not they own what pet amenity?
A doghouse.
Yes, it is a doghouse.
Most of those Conan jokes, the Shaggy Dog jokes he'd done Conan, almost, and I don't want to sound like one of those people, it actually is more of an indictment of me than it is a positive. I saw all of those live. I saw the Courtney Thorne Smith thing live. I saw the doghouse live. I saw the moth joke live. I was a Conan fanatic too, which is something I actually thought about doing for a category, was the original Conan late night show, which maybe I'll do next time. But yeah, I remember that greatly. The University of Science, professor of logic. But anyway.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you for those.
It is one of the funniest bits I have ever seen. If anyone's going to be able to be offended by that, it's me. And I love that joke. So
there's
I'm
glad, because he has said some things that definitely could offend some people.
Yes. he is not a vanilla comedian.
No, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
All right. Well, you've got five keys now, and you can go to any question you want on the board. So now we will see what your strategy is.
All right. I will go to the very first question in defunct auto brands.
All right. Here's a category about car brands that do not exist anymore. The unlocked question is this. Named for a celestial body, what middle price cars positioned between Ford and Lincoln stopped production in 2011?
So that'd be Mercury, I'm guessing.
Mercury is correct there.
Okay. Let me go ahead and I'm going to go ahead and stay in defunct auto brands, and I'll do it straight and go with the one key question.
All right. We'll try out the one key question for defunct auto brands. Here it is. Focusing all of their resources on Chevrolet, GM withdrew what now defunct make of car from NASCAR at the end of the 2003 season.
That would have been Pontiac.
Yeah, the Grand Prix was in NASCAR up to that point, but it is no longer. Pontiac is the correct answer. And you have plenty of keys.
I guess they would have been Monte Carlo then for Chevy. Do you know what the the predecessor to the Monte Carlo was?
I don't, because I started paying attention to NASCAR around that time. And so I know it was Monte Carlo and then Impala.
It was the Lumina was the car that preceded the Monte Carlo in NASCAR.
I'm going to remove that from the edit because I have someone coming up who's asking for NASCAR. And that sounds like a wonderful question to ask.
If you wanted one more, is that prior there used to be three GM brands because they used to run Buick too in the 80s. Anyway. I'll go ahead and continue and go with defunct auto brands for two keys.
Going to keep rolling up the category. Here's your next question. What brand that was only produced for 2 years came to a sudden halt when the eponymous owner was caught by the FBI agreeing to bankroll a drug operation in 1982?
That's the DeLorean and John DeLorean.
It is the DeLorean. That is correct. Probably would not see the cult following it has had it not been for Back to the Future. But the car was junk. It was terrible. I had no idea about that until writing this game, but it was badly made. And apparently they were only like 9,000 made or some stupid small number.
Yeah, I rode one at a car show when I was like 9 or 10. And even a guy who had it at a show tried to make it as nice as possible. You could tell it was junk. Like, it was so slow and lumbering, I guess, was the thing.
I wonder if it was built in Ireland
also, which is odd.
I wonder if it was picked for Back to the Future for the joke of it being bad and everybody that when the movie came out, they all would know that. Or if it was because the director liked it. I don't know. Why was it?
They look cool. I mean, they do look cool. They look really unusual and cool. Like, all those ideas of the brushed steel body and the gullwing doors on it. Those are cool things. I agree.
They look
with
futuristic,
that,
so. Which is on brand with the movie. Fair enough.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Brandon, you're doing very well so far. Where to next?
I'll stay in defunct auto brands. It's one of my favorite topics.
Your next question, your three key question, is this. Sounding like an Austrian bread roll on a show starring Kelsey Grammer, what car brand ended in 1951 due to its founders having creative differences?
That's not going to help me unless it's just the title of the show. Wait a minute. It might be. Oh, Kaiser Frazier.
Kaiser Frazier is correct.
Yeah.
Kaiser Frazier. Apparently they just got in a fight and they stopped the company from what I read.
Yeah, no. They're if you look at like some of those small automakers that were just rich dudes who wanted to do it. And then when they found out how much it cost, like, and then they would just leave on a whim. There's a bunch of those.
Well, we'll see if the four key question is one of those.
Yeah, I would love to find out what the four key question is.
We're about to. The four key defunct auto brands, hypothetically hardest question in the category, is this. A disastrous merger with Studebaker in 1953 was the nail in the coffin of what defunct car brand whose motto was, ask the man who owns one.
Gonna guess that this is Packard.
Brandon, you still have a perfect game. That is correct.
Not right.
Packard. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah, I was hoping for something on the AMC merger with those because they all ended up together.
I thought about writing an AMC question, but I couldn't shake a movie backdoor, and it just seemed too easy.
Oh, so, I got you. Fair enough. Asked about Reno. Anyway,
I could have. I'm sure that you could have written a better defunct auto brands question category than I could have. But
yeah, well, I scared myself because I did this. I'm like, oh man, because if you go pre-war, there's so many of them. That are like, you know, 1920 to 1925 or 1927 to 1935. That kind, those kind of brands that made like one handmade model, and those are really hard to remember. So,
I tried to make sure those were good trivia questions, and also it was entirely based on a flyer that Title Max put out.
Oh wow!
All of those were on a Title Max flyer of defunct cars, so I thought that was a fun way to go about it.
Nice.
All right, you have 10 keys and another strategic choice to make because you did your walk it back up again and it paid off, but it could hurt you if you do it again. Where to now?
Okay. The bonus keys don't cost me anything, right?
Correct.
So they're just kind of...
They're there, but you might need them if you miss a question, they'll get you back in category.
You know what? I'm curious... where we are on it, and I'd like to know what you wrote. So let's go to the Marlins and start with the first question, the unlocked question.
All right. The unlocked Florida Marlins question is this. What son of Columbia, Tennessee hit his 100th career home run in his 502nd game on June 5th? The fastest of any second baseman to do so.
Guessing that is Dan Uggla.
Yeah, he is from not far from where I live now. Dan Uggla is the correct answer.
I did not make the broadcast joke from that era because nobody would get it because there are no Marlins fans other than me and certainly none that are listening to this trivia. But if I were to, I would have said his name is Dan Uggla. Because, you know, he was a, you may not know, he came to the Marlins as a Rule 5 draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they got him from the Braves and just, like, signed him off their roster, like, out of their minor league system. And then he was immediately an all-star. He was really good right away, so.
And good grab.
Was kind of a nobody who was immediately fantastic. Well, as the question indicates, really good, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was an unlocked question because I thought if there's a Marlins player that we know from 2009, it is probably Dan Uggla. So,
yeah.
All right.
All right.
You're going to keep rolling up or are you going to change your strategy here?
Nope. I'm going to keep doing what I've done. It served me well. So I'll go to the one key Marlin question.
All right. Your next question is this. The Fish started the season auspiciously when what leadoff hitter had 3 stolen bases and an inside the park home run on opening day, going 4-5 on the day?
This is a player they acquired in a trade prior to the season. They got him from Washington for Scott Olsen, and his name is Emilio Bonifacio.
Yeah, Emilio Bonifacio, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
But yep. Yeah, I'll say that's correct. And now bonus trivia, because you'll enjoy being asked and it's not going to affect your game. He was the first player to hit an inside-the-park home run on opening day since who in the 60s?
Oh, geez. Maury Wills?
It was Carl Yastrzemski.
Oh, wow. Yes. Nice.
I thought that was interesting when I saw that. I almost made that a four-key question.
Oh, geez.
And worded it differently. But, yeah, I thought that was cool. It was the first opening day inside-the-park home run since Carl Yastrzemski.
I remember that game vividly. The Lovista game. Yeah.
That was one of the 100 some games Brandon watched that year. All right. I don't want to assume, but where are you going to go next?
I would like to stay with one of my all-time favorite teams, the 2009 Florida Marlins, and go to the two key question.
All right. Here it is. Hanley Ramirez and what pitcher were the two representatives at the All-Star game for the Fish, though Ramirez went 0-3. And this pitcher never got the chance to pitch.
I'm going to assume that this was Josh Johnson.
I am very happy you didn't fall for the trap of who else it could be who struggled in midseason. Josh Johnson is correct, Brandon.
Yeah.
And
had he not blown out his elbow, that guy was so good the first 4 years of his career. Like a workhorse ace, just fantastic pitcher.
Just 8 innings up. That's what I was reading, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. All right, Brandon, things are going well. Where to now?
Let's stay with the Marlins.
All right. Your three key question is this. While their AAA affiliate is now called the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp, what 2009 AAA affiliate of the Marlins allowed Ricky Nolasco to get his act together and return for a strong end to the season?
They were in New Orleans at the time, and this is before they had changed their name to the Baby Cakes. This is the New Orleans Zephyrs.
The Zephyrs is not only a weird mascot, but it is correct. And you are still rolling, Brandon. Are you going to finish category?
Yes, let's do that.
All right. Your hypothetically hardest 2009 Florida Marlins question is this. What outfielder had a season-ending microfracture surgery in July and was released at the end of the season, only to return to the Fish in 2011?
Left and came back in 2011. So there's the outfielders on that team. This is a complete guess, 100%.
You can also
guess.
Talk it out. I'm in no rush, especially we've been very efficient.
Well, I don't really have a way to talk it out because their outfield was pretty set. Trying to think when San Francisco won their World Series.
Those would have been,
yeah. So he could have been there then. Was this Cody Ross?
This was Alfredo Amezaga.
Oh, Amezaga. Yeah, you know, I didn't realize, and he did bounce back and forth from the Marlins. That's A-OK. So while he primarily played outfield for the Marlins, if you were a big Marlins fan, you actually remember him more as an infielder because he was a utility player. And when the Marlins would either get way up or way down, they would run highlights. And one of the highlights they would show, and you can look this up, it's kind of hard to find now. When he was in the Mexican League, he makes one of the most ridiculous behind-the-back throws ever as a shortstop in the Mexican League. But yeah, Amezaga played, probably 60 games in center field, 70 games, something like that, that year.
Well, yeah, so that's fine. Did he play more games in the infield than the outfield?
No. He definitely played in the outfield that year. Okay. No. He played for the Marlins like four different times. So it's fine. I missed it. That's 100% true.
Okay. I want to make sure it was a fair game and not...
It stinks because he's one of my favorite players. But I just don't... And he absolutely was an outfielder primarily at the Marlins, but I don't think of him that way. So that's
fair enough. All right, Brandon. There's silver lining here. Unfortunately, I do, for the first time in this game, have to take your keys. You have done very well, but it does now allow you to have a clear strategy moving forward instead of a chaotic choice you could have made before. All that's left is Family Guy and your bonus questions. So what do you want to do now?
Let's go ahead and jump into Family Guy.
All right. Your unlocked Family Guy question is this. Stewie has a complicated and sometimes sexual relationship with his teddy bear that goes by what name?
That is Rupert.
Rupert is correct. I thought about really bearing down on that question, no pun intended, and putting like a Rupert Murdoch backdoor in, but I just thought, man, if it's a Family Guy fan, you're going to know it's Rupert.
Yeah.
All right. Where to next?
Let's stay there. Your one key for Family Guy.
Family Guy question is this. One would assume Meg is short for Megan, but it's actually short for what name shared by the antagonist of a popular toy, comic book, television, and movie franchise?
That is Megatron.
It is. One of the funnier cutscenes of Family Guy is when Peter erases the birth certificate and writes in Sharpie Megatron.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Two keys back in your pocket, Brandon. You can keep rolling in the category.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Assuming things go well, I think I know how this game is going to transpire. Here is your two key Family Guy question. The Bourne Company sued Fox over Family Guy's song "I Need a Jew" because they said it sounded like what song of theirs from Disney's Pinocchio in 1940?
Is that "When You Wish Upon a Star"?
If you knew one song from Pinocchio, Brandon, it was the one you needed to know. That is correct.
There's probably very few people who know less about Disney than I do.
You know what's funny?
I just know that they play that over the Disney, like when they used to have the commercials for the animation VHS. Yep. That always played in the background. I think that's how I know that.
Yep, fair enough. Also, the episode was called "When You Wish Upon a Weinstein."
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So that is that.
I probably would have gotten to that. Yeah.
Let's keep it rolling, I assume, right?
Yeah. Let's do the three.
Three key Family Guy question. Quahog's problematic doctor has what last name? Name for the creator of the Fairly Odd Parents, who Seth MacFarlane previously worked with on Johnny Bravo.
It's Dr. Hartman.
Yes. Dan Hartman is who that is named after. That is correct. And let's
close
finish.
Her out.
Yeah, let's do it. The hypothetically hardest Family Guy question is this. When shaved, it is revealed Brian has a tattoo of what eponymous comic strip character that owns a white dog himself?
Eponymous comic book character that owns a white dog.
This is where it helps to be a trivia writer, because you aren't going to fall into the... Not to take one away, but you're not going to fall into a specific...
Well, no, there's an obvious one that's very much ruled out here. So give me a second here, and I'll try and think. Because I don't know this off the top of my head. I do remember him being shaved and what a how grotesque he looked then. white dog. Oh, boy. This is going to have to be a guess, because I have no idea here. And everything I can think of doesn't have a white dog involved with it. And there are many comic strips that I've never read at all. Even ones that are very popular. So I'm sure there are a lot of people yelling who know this. but I will have to say it is, for the sake of the humor of me just saying, I would like to guess Snuffy Smith.
Unfortunately, it is not Snuffy Smith.
I know it's not. Yeah.
Ziggy is who Brian has a tattoo of.
Ziggy's a good one. Yeah, Ziggy. That's good.
Yep.
Yeah.
I thought that was a fun question. And full disclosure, that was the question that when writing, I was like, if Brandon can get through that one, he might get a perfect score. That was definitely the pitch of the question.
Kind of stinks. I kind of remember it now. I know Ziggy jokes and Family Circus jokes from that show. But
yeah, Seth MacFarlane, not Family Guy. Seth MacFarlane does a remarkable job of pulling references that nobody else gives a shit about except him and his love of the 80s. And Ziggy's not even an 80s comic, but it was definitely around in the 80s. So there's that.
Yeah.
Brandon,
so now
you
I just get the
bonus keys in front of you. Yes. You are going to get to all your questions. I didn't write 21 bonus questions for you like you did for me. You're going to get to all of them, and it's just a matter of what order you want to go in, and we'll figure out whether you will beat, tie, or fall short of your first score on lockdown.
How many did I miss the first time? Three?
You got 22 points. Yeah, you only missed three your first time. So if you can get all five, you'll beat your score. Missing one will tie it.
So I will start with the Billboard Buster. I'm curious to see what this is.
All right. Here's a... as requested, Van Halen adjacent. In this case, it's Van Halen spot on Billboard Buster.
Good
question. Jump is Van Halen's only song to hit number one. But what 1995 hit that pays homage to a Ray Charles song was their last to crack the Billboard Top 40?
Don't tell me what love can do.
That is not what I have here, and I think I'm right.
Oh, okay.
Can't Stop Loving You.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Was their last song?
I conflated the two. No, you're right. I completely conflated those. That was overconfidence.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's not your fault.
I feel bad. You know, I feel bad because you and I both do this thing on podcasts where we're like,
no.
Yes.
If I had just paused, I would have gotten that, and I didn't. I can tell you what that other song's about, but it doesn't matter because it's wrong. All right, so let's try and tie the other one. Let's go back to Who in the World.
Who in the World? I'm looking for a stage name. While we didn't explore it in this game, I know you love country music. And so here's a country music stage name I'm looking for. What country rap artist whose most popular song came out in 2014 was actually a professional golfer before his music career under his birth name, Jason Ferris Brown?
Colt Ford.
Yeah, that took no time. You knew all about that. Is there a reason you knew that immediately?
I think chart wise, most successful country rapper. That's a pure one. When that song came out, a lot of the stuff came out about him being a golf pro. Cause he doesn't look like a guy who'd be a golf pro.
No, he does not.
He was. Yeah.
That is correct. All right. Which bonus question next?
Let's do Stormy Trivia.
All right. Something I think you should know. I've alluded to it already in this episode. Something I know you like and know quite a bit about. Here's your question. Virtually every episode of SNL has been broadcast from Studio 8H in New York. But in 1977, Lorne Michaels took the show on site to what city to celebrate an annual festival?
I'm going to guess New Orleans?
For the second time in this game, New Orleans comes up and is correct. Yes, New Orleans.
All right. Nice.
Though technically, when they recorded, it was not Saturday night. It was a Sunday.
Oh.
When they recorded at Mardi Gras.
Interesting.
I know.
That's pretty cool.
I was trying to find something that you wouldn't immediately know, but maybe could deduct.
Yeah.
And now I know what you're going to look up after this is that Mardi Gras episode of SNL in 1977.
Sure. I feel like I saw something about it with all the 50th stuff. I feel like it came up in one of the documentaries.
I don't remember exactly what I saw, but apparently the cast got like things thrown at them during.
Yeah,
the recording and all kinds of
like,
degenerate.
I feel like
shit.
I saw that. Yeah. Let's go to National Blank Day.
Merry Christmas Eve, everybody. Here's a question.
Merry Christmas.
Christmas Eve is celebrated many different ways across the globe, but one of the tastiest ways is what pescatarian culinary tradition common among those of Italian heritage?
Could you read that again?
Mm-hmm. Christmas Eve is celebrated many different ways across the globe, but one of the tastiest ways is what pescatarian culinary tradition common among those of Italian heritage?
I didn't know there was a name for that.
I will be generous in my acceptance of this answer, I think.
I don't know. I've been to one. There was a bunch of people eating seafood on Christmas Eve, but I don't know what the heck it was called. I don't know. I thought it was weird because I don't eat seafood, but they had clams and mussels and squid and all that stuff. I don't know what that's called. I have no idea. Really, literally don't have a guess. Nothing.
This is the Feast of the Seven Fishes.
Oh, yeah. No idea.
Wow. No idea. Okay. Well, unfortunately, I missed on that one. And I'm not a seafood guy, but that's probably the one time of the year you could convince me to get seafood going because it seems fun. So
yeah, I don't know.
Out of curiosity, what was the reason you were what Feast of Seven Fishes did you join?
I don't know if that's what it was. I was just with an Italian family that had a whole bunch of seafood on Christmas Eve. I didn't know what it was.
That's what it was. Yep.
Yeah. So I don't know. But as an aside, and you feel free to edit this out, I'm just blown away that I missed the Van Halen question and that as a huge Van Halen fan, and I love the Balance album and love that song. I've always loved that song. I never made the connection that that has the same title as a Ray Charles song. And at the end, Sammy says, "Hey, Ray," what you said is true, and then says it again. And I never made that connection. That might be the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to me. So wow. I know I can't stop thinking about that. And that's all I've thought about that since I missed it is that I never made that connection.
That was the blooper. That was, you know what? You got me with Leanne Rimes and Blue, and I got you with Van Halen and Can't Stop Loving You.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God. Well, we know where we're going to end the game.
Stupid. That was before, so stupid. Yeah, we'll go to your favorite, before and after.
Yeah, my favorite, before and after. I like this one a lot. I hope you like it, too. Here is your last clue of your game, Brandon. A 1959 film starring Marilyn Monroe that received 6 Oscar nominations and won 1, plus a cocktail best when it's cold outside, made of whiskey, honey, water, and lemon juice.
Some Like It Hot Toddy?
Some Like It Hot Toddy is correct. And
yeah,
all right. You'll end your game on a correct answer, Brandon. You got 21 points, which is better than almost anyone else on the show gets, but not better than you got the first time. And so I know you're going to be hungry for that next time.
Well, what's funny is I don't feel bad at all about missing the 4-key Marlin question or the 4-key family guy. Cause I did not know those. Didn't know them. I certainly didn't know. Was it the Feast of the, how many seven
Feast fishes? Of the Seven Fishes.
Yeah. I've never heard of that. And then, the Van Halen thing is the thing that kept me from tying myself, and to miss that is stupefying and embarrassing. And wow, man, I hope Santa still comes to visit me, even though that was a very naughty miss by me. Jeez.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is for as long as I've done the show now, we're heading towards deep into season 2. You were the first episode. And if there's anything I can claim, it's that I know how to write an appropriately difficult game because you should have got the same score again.
Yeah, should have. Man, I can't believe I missed that. I can't believe I've never, maybe at some point I made that connection, but it's one of those things where the obvious thing when you've seen it so much or heard it so much escapes you. Like that, I've listened to that album and that song so many times that it's like a forest trees thing. I just don't think of anything that way. Like I don't notice anything about it because I've been listening to that since I was 12 years old, I guess, 13 years old. So yeah, that stinks. But I learned something. You taught me something. How about that?
Brandon has a TIL from this episode of Lockdown.
Yeah.
Brandon, I am so grateful you were here. I wanted the Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve episodes to be people that were close to me and were influential on me. And so thanks for coming. And before we get out of here, other than just to say Merry Christmas, do you have anything you want to shout out as 2025 comes to conclusion here?
Not really. Just want to thank you for having me on again. And congratulations on all the success the show's having.
I appreciate it. And also check out the Forever Home Feline Ranch.
Yeah, Forever Home Feline Ranch. I always support that. And I guess if you have ever had the notion, do look into foster care if you're a family that could do that. And not just, I don't mean for cats. I mean for kids. If it's something you ever thought of, look at into that in your area as well. I've never brought that up, but it's something people should definitely consider. There's a need wherever you live. There is a need. So if you've ever thought about it, find an agency and look into it.
Yep. That's an all 50 states need right there. It's not just Illinois, not just Tennessee. Brandon, thanks for coming. I had a blast. Happy to celebrate the holiday with you. And
you too. Merry Christmas.
Yep. Next time you're on, we'll see if we can get that perfect game.
Yeah, I hope too. Thank you.
Thanks again, Brandon, for being on, and Merry Christmas Eve, everybody. I'm so glad you guys were able to join me today for lockdown. Really, there was only one thing about this episode that I completely fucked up, and that was that if you are researching minor league baseball, you have to be cognizant of the fact that minor league baseball teams constantly change their affiliations. I wrote that as the Baby Cakes, but they actually became this team who became that team, and they moved here and then they moved there. And as soon as I asked that question, Brandon was like, well, that's not who they were at the time. And I had to Google it, and then we figured out that I was wrong. So my point is, if you're writing any trivia about minor league baseball, you have to be extremely particular about the year and the team, because they change to the point that they're basically playing hot potato with each other in terms of the Major League Baseball team. So that was the one thing here I was wrong. You'll see in the blooper him explain to me why I was wrong, because I want you guys to see what that process was like. But yeah, if you're writing any trivia about minor league baseball, be extra diligent because they're playing hot potato. Our bonus question from this game comes from the Family Guy category, and it is this. During Peter and the Giant Chicken's second fight, a scene from what movie that won 4 Oscars but lost Best Picture in 1982 was recreated? While you're thinking of that, I want to thank Brandon one more time for being on this episode of Lockdown and invite you to be on your own episode. You'll be on Season 5, as a lot has already been planned and a lot is coming up that is going to be very exciting, but you should sign up by yourself or with a friend. You could play competitively or cooperatively. It's going to be a blast, and we have all kinds of great new lockdown things coming. The correct answer to the bonus question from this episode is Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark. New episodes every Wednesday morning, so check back each week for some more fun. In the meantime, I cannot wait to continue to write, continue to learn, and continue to unlock your brains one key at a time. Now named the Baby Cakes, what AAA affiliate of the Marlins allowed Ricky Nolasco to get his act together and return for a strong end to the season?
Okay. You can edit stuff out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this question's wrong.
Okay.
So the Baby Cakes no longer exist.
What is it right now?
So the Baby Cakes moved to Wichita before 2020 and became the Wind Surge, but they were never the Marlins AAA affiliate because minor league baseball reorganized and forced the Marlins to move. They forced their AA affiliate to become their AAA affiliate. They were the Jacksonville Suns. They're now the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp.
Jumbo Shrimp. Yep.
I'm not sure what answer you wanted, but that's the progression to the current AAA team of the Marlins.
So I will just change it by replacing Baby Cakes with Jumbo Shrimp. And then I'll ask the question again, because it, I believe, is correct from that point on.
So are you looking for, because they would have been the Double A affiliate then, if it's the team in Jacksonville.
I'm not looking for that team. I'm looking for the Triple A affiliate of the Marlins that year.
Oh, it's,
and it, to be fair, okay. This is a,
so,
like,
so I, that's a complete, wrong. That's a completely different team though. So if it was the Isotopes, that's a completely different team.
I can see where what I did was wrong here. So what I'm going to say is I'm going to word the question differently to just essentially ask who the AAA affiliate was.
Okay.
At the time. And it is not. And at that year, this is me giving it to you because it's my fault. The New Orleans Zephyrs was the AAA affiliate of the Marlins in 2009.
Okay.
So I will